Welcome to the Ripple Fishing Report. I'm your host, Brad Long. I'm glad you're here, and this is an exciting week because, you know, we talk a lot about the weather, and we talk a lot about how the weather impacts the fishery and the Florida Panhandle. And this week we talked to Captain Justin Leak, Captain Lionel, Captain Brandt about kind of this weird weather pattern that we've been in, which is odd for the month of May because it cooled off at night and it was windy. And a lot of times when it's windy and cool like that, it cools the surface temperature down in the water and in turn cools the water down a little bit. And so it seems like it's kind of stunted and sort of set back getting into the summer pattern where things are, you know, a little bit more stable. The bait's in. You kind of know what to expect, how to target it. Maybe you got some spots for the summertime. I don't think we're quite there yet. And, you know, the reports kind of back up that statement. And so, you know, this week we'll talk to the guys. We'll find out sort of what they do when the weather gets weird like this, sort of how they target the species they've gone after. And, you know, they share a lot of their wisdom from so much time that they spend on the water and tell us what they do. And, you know, the thing is, I mean, you know, in Panama City and in Pensacola and in Destin, sure, they're all in the Florida Panhandle, but they are three different fisheries, and they fish differently with different wind direction. And the offshore bite is remarkably different given the wind direction. And so, you know, all that stuff really matters. And so, you know, the takeaway this week is that it was a weird weather week. It was windy, and, you know, so there's just not a tremendous story to tell other than the weather was weird. And, you know, here's how we approach that, and here's what we do to still put fish in the boat. So I'm glad you're here. I hope you enjoy it. And, you know, without further ado, let's just dive right in. So, Captain Lionel, how you doing?
Not too bad. How you doing, Brett?
I'm doing good, man. So the weather's been good, a little breezy, kind of had a cold front down there. What were you able to get out and get anything done?
I had a couple of trips this week. It has been breezy. I was going to go out today, but it was super windy today.
Yeah.
It's still a little chilly this morning, but I don't know. Like, I think I'm preaching in the choir every week, but I did some fishing on the beach, you know?
Yeah. What'd you run into on the beach?
My clients wanted to do some sight fishing, and we played with quite a few reds, a bunch of bluefish, but still not as many as there should be this time of year.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, not a lot of ladyfish yet, too. So, you know, sometimes those redfish don't want to bite, and, you know, just kind of keeping the rod bent, the bluefish are, and the ladyfish are a good buffer, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
We did run into a couple pompano still, and they seem to be catching quite a few of them on the beach still. I had a buddy that did some surf fishing 2 days ago, and he caught, between him and his friend, they caught 12 pompano in a short few hours. So,
wow.
And even seeing them, I was even seeing quite a few of them on the tower yesterday. So there's still plenty of fish on the beach around. There's still plenty of pompano. And they're slowly, as far as other fish starting to trickle in. You know, this time last year, there was a significant amount of bait around.
Yeah.
And
so let me ask you, why do you think that was last year? What was it, warmer?
Oh, it definitely had to do with the warmer weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely had to do with that, you know.
Yeah, these weird little cold snaps. I mean, we don't think much of it because it's so nice during the day, but
right.
At night it's pretty chilly. And like you said, this whole week it's been cold in the morning. I think that's going to change dramatically in a few days, but for now,
yeah,
it's still pretty cold.
And I hope so, you know, like we're ready for some really consistent fishing, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
I had all these intentions of fishing the outgoing tide at the bridge to have a little bit more to talk about, but I
yeah.
can't do that. So it's just one of those things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What, let me ask you, what bridge are you referring to? And I'm curious.
The Destin Bridge.
The main bridge. One that's right there by the pass?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Typically, so when I'm cruising, you know, a good indicator for me that there are redfish on them is that, you know, when you turn the corner of the pass and you're cruising the beach, you don't see many redfish. You know,
right.
Typically they're in these big schools in that clear water. And then over the winter, there was a huge amount of redfish by the Coast Guard station, you know?
Okay.
Like, it was a consistent thing that you could see there every day, and they've all kind of disappeared. So, typically that means they're on the bridge or on the pass.
Right.
So I just wanted to go find out. So that's one of my things to check off the list this week, is just fish the bridge heavily and see what's down there. You know,
yeah.
We're getting well away from that full moon, which I think really affected a lot of the fishing over the last couple of days. It was just with the full moon came a super strong tide, like we spoke in current that we spoke about last week.
Yeah.
And it just played a lot of displacement with these fish.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Because when I was in Destin a few weeks ago, you don't miss the bridge if you go out there. So, I turned the depth finder on, was checking out the bottom and just seeing if there was anything. But no one was fishing it, and it was a little bit narrow right there. And because you have the Crab Island area kind of on one side, and then you have sort of Destin, I guess, like the harbor area on the other side, and then, of course, the main channel, there's a lot of things happening right there. So how do you fish that bridge? What's your preferred?
Yeah. So a lot of people like to tie their boat off to one of the pylons and get on the pylon.
Okay.
There are ways. You got to be really cautious about it. I don't know if I really want to speak on it because I don't want nobody to go out there and try it. Cause it definitely takes a lot of experience. But a lot of guys will get right in the channel where the two, I guess, channel markers kind of curve.
Okay.
A lot of people like to hide behind that curve because those fish will sit in that hole depending on which way the current is going and fish right there too. So that's one way of going about it and just kind of anchoring, you know, depending on which way the current is going, up current and fishing back towards the bridge. But I don't think it's something that I can really explain where to fish when that is happening. I think you definitely have to go out there and see it, because I don't want somebody to say, well, I heard this song and he told me to do it this way. And you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. You know, the good news, though, I'll say this, because I've, you know, other bridges I've fished in other areas, at least that bridge is a no wake zone. So you don't worry about anybody blowing through there and not seeing you. I mean, everybody's kind of moving at a pace that's, you know, controllable, and you can avoid problems. But
absolutely,
you know, you don't necessarily want to be fishing in a spot either where you got tons of people idling by you. You know what I mean? So that's kind
right.
of that. And that
right.
area seems so congested just with everything happening. But it also, you know, it was the design of the bridge was, I noticed, was a little bit different. It was smaller pilings and just more of them, which is good for
right,
our purposes.
Right.
You know.
Right. So it's kind of crazy, because if you're traveling the bridge from west to east, those first like 10 pilings are super, super shallow. And then there's an even shallower flat as you go a little bit further into the bridge.
Yep.
And it causes a lot of different kind of currents pulling different kind of ways. So it's something that if you were going to fish the bridge the first time, I would just try anchoring up current somewhere outside of the channels.
Yeah.
And fishing back. The other way is definitely stepping on the pylons and tying the boat off. But
right.
in that sense, you definitely have to be cautious of current changes, because as soon as it changes, and it changes quickly, your boat is going to be pushed into the next pylon. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, because they were narrow. I mean, I noticed it. And what struck me, I even commented to my wife, I said, well, there's nobody fishing this, and it must just be because of all the activity. I mean, there's just so much happening right there that
I mean, it's always been known that the best is the outgoing tide.
Okay.
Just where to fish it. You know, it's the deepest part of that channel or that bridge is the channel.
Right.
That goes north and south. And, you know, you can't fish there during the day with that much traffic. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, you can, but you don't. No, I don't want to be that guy. You know,
I certainly
don't want to encourage people to be that guy. So,
right.
Yeah, it's best to hang back out of the way, kind of. But it's just such a strange area, because there's just, you know, you have the harbor that kind of kicks off in one direction, almost kind of almost parallel with the path. You know, like, it's just a weird kind of scenario of just things sort of, they all sort of converge on that bridge kind of in the same from each side, you know, so. I didn't know. It looked like it would be great fishing there, but I didn't see anybody doing it, and there was so much happening.
It was really good fishing. I think I don't know. People might not be out fishing on that time of day, or the current wasn't right, or it's a good place to fish.
Yeah.
That and
well,
any kind of jetty, but
it was still cool. And
yeah,
This was 2 weeks ago, and so it was. It just may not have been the right time of year. I mean, like we're saying, the bait hasn't quite gotten here yet. A lot of things aren't quite ready
here
for that
yet.
Summer pattern, and not here yet.
Yeah.
So. So on the beach, have you seen any cobia or anything when you've been running?
Today I covered a lot of water a couple of days ago when I was about to. Didn't see one. I walked out onto the Navarre Pier today to just kind of get a feel of what's going on.
Yeah.
And they were only catching, and I think it has to do with that. We had such a strong southeast wind today.
Yeah.
That you could literally surf the waves. That's how big they were.
Wow.
They were just really catching bonita. And that's about all I saw. So there were other redfish. We saw some, me and my nephew saw some redfish around the beginning part of it. But I didn't see anybody fishing for them. And I just didn't see a lot of activity there. The water, I think it's still kind of cold. I didn't see a lot of people in the water. And that could have to do with the waves. But,
right.
I just don't think it's – we keep kind of talking about these cold fronts and – one after another, there's another one. It's been that for the last several weeks.
I tell you something, Lionel, if you had told me when I started this podcast, and it's been, oh man, well, this is our, I think this is our 12th one.
Really, man, that's wow,
11th
3 months?
One. Yeah, it's been a while. If you had told me when we started this that in May I was going to be talking about cold fronts and water being too cold and that everything's going to be shut down because of all this COVID stuff, and I guess it's reopening now, and I want to get to that in a minute. I would have absolutely not believed you on either one of those things, and here we are with the water not quite cooperating. I mean, it's I did not expect us to have this cold snap that we are kind of coming out of.
I'm dying to get on my paddleboard, but it's like it's still cold, man. So the only time I can get out on it is in the afternoon.
Yeah, this week, so, man. That daylight. That leaving at daylight deal, that's a rough one. I mean, it's pushing,
wait,
it's in the 40s, right? I mean, 50, low 50s, high, mid 40s.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had 3 trips so far in the last week. In each trip, I had on jeans and a sweatshirt and a jacket to start the day off.
Yeah, it's middle of May.
Yeah.
What is going on, Lionel? What is going on? It's mid-May. You're wearing sweatshirts, and we can't do anything.
It's affecting more than our health. So
yeah, it's crazy.
You know what, mate? I don't want to get too scientific on this thing, but what if this is like the natural way May is supposed to be? But since we've had years and years of just people. Like 90% of the country is at home, It's Mother Nature correcting itself because you don't have all the smog and all that stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of places.
I know.
No, there could be something to it because you hear about some of these places that have so much, their water quality issues are so great, and with everyone kind of being, not traveling, there's a lot of places. Like I saw a thing the other day in Venice. And they were talking about how someone had filmed these jellyfish in one of the canals, and they were talking about how it had cleared up so much from just people not being out on it. Like just from the water being stirred up to any kind of pollution or like any of that stuff. And I think there's a fair amount of that happening around the world. The beauty of Mother Nature is a lot of times that sort of thing is so subtle. We don't even know it's happening, maybe it's not so subtle when the whole world stays at home for 3 months or 2 months.
Right.
So maybe it becomes a little more in your face
when
we shut it down like this.
For sure.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's definitely odd. I mean, I think there's, we're about to get there though. I mean, they're forecasting highs mid 90s for basically a couple days out on. So it's summer's
wait,
here.
Yeah.
I know.
I am excited to go fly fishing for bonita. You know what? I tried to film a YouTube episode yesterday, and it was strictly because I wanted to go catch bluefish with my 8-weight. It was going to be an introduction video, and it's just a great fish to catch, pull some drag, and it was just so windy that I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So,
I've been there, man. I've been there. And you know, ladyfish are another one for
I want to do all that.
Yeah,
and like, catch and cook ladyfish. Like, I just want to see that. I thought it would be interesting. So
yeah, and let me tell you something, man. Ladyfish and bluefish, I'm not above that. I mean,
you know what? I've had bluefish, but ladyfish. You know, I got a friend, and he eats them all the time. So I'm like, well, you know, this can set me apart a little bit because most people aren't going to eat this fish. So
yeah, that would set you apart. Now I was talking about catching them, not eating them.
You took
it down.
I'm not opposed to catching ladyfish at all. So
no,
like that. If it pulls some drag and it puts up a fight, like I'm all with it. So
that's
I'm gonna try to eat it just based off of like, now I know for myself. It's like,
yeah,
I need to know, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah, fillet one up and see, man. Just let me know. I'll let you be the guinea pig on that. they're a little too slimy and funky when you bring them in the boat.
Yeah.
They're nasty.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Well, awesome. Well, man, so, you know, we keep saying it, but I think the weather is going to finally get right. And by right, I mean super hot, so everything in the South is back to normal. We know how to behave.
I hope you're right. Do hope you're right. You know, I'm not going to say anything or make any predictions anymore.
Yeah, we should have learned like 3 weeks ago that that's a bad deal. But
yeah, like this time of year, also on the pier this time of year, it's, you know, King Mackerel should be everywhere. So
yeah,
they didn't. You know, there wasn't much. I was talking to all the guys out there. So I don't know, man. Like, you just hope, you know, fish. It's fishing. However, it's one of those quite cliche things to say, like, they just show up out of nowhere. And maybe tomorrow I wake up and there's fish everywhere, you know?
Yeah, yeah, cobia, kings, everything's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, let me throw this out at you, and I'm just thinking back to the entirety of all the conversations we've had. You know, we were talking a lot in late February, you know, early March, mid-March, about how warm things have been, how it's been dry and warm. We haven't had these cold snaps, and things were kind of progressing at the time, which seemed to be pretty quickly. We were kind of moving into the spring, summer, you know, and I was having the thought of, boy, at this pace, we're going to be, you know, we're going to be in that summer pattern, you know, in April. I mean, the rate at this rate. And and we never quite got there, I don't think. I mean, it's like we've actually had a spring, and none of us know what to do with it, you know?
You're right.
Because we're not used to it. We go from, like, cold to hot, and then we go, you know? And so who knows, man? It may be it's just kind of warming up like it's supposed to.
We shall see, my man. We shall see.
Yeah, so the beaches are open, right? I mean, what's the status of things?
They are open. So this area, and I'm speaking for Destin, is just – it's open. I believe there's no more restrictions. However, I did read an article this morning that some southern Florida beaches were closing back all the way down.
Yeah.
It just seems to be like there were a lot of people on the beach in the bar today. Everybody kind of keeping their distance. Everything's open.
Yeah.
You know, restaurants are at, I think, a 25% capacity. Barbershops and hair salons opened yesterday, so it's there, you know. It's kind of frightening though, because what if you know, the big question is if we have another wave of this virus, and what's that really gonna do? So
and I'm kind of, I mean, I've been thinking about it myself, and you know, when we visit the coast down there, I mean, we don't do much. And what I mean is we take the boat out. We're not into doing, you know, big dinner plans and all this crazy stuff. We do takeout, we fire up a grill, and we're on the boat pretty much the whole time. So a coastal vacation for us, you know, we're kind of, my kids don't care for this, but I mean, we're kind of beyond the mini golf and all the things that are so tourist oriented, you know. And so we just go and kind of enjoy the water. So, I mean, you know, I don't think it's going to feel all that different for us to be down there. But a lot of people, especially people that come from further away, they want to have that full experience. So is that stuff open now? I mean, the family-oriented stuff, or is some of it still closed and it's just, you know?
To be honest, I'm not even sure. I haven't heard of, like, miniature golf things opening. I did hear that Big Kahuna's was going out of business.
Okay.
You know, because, but yeah, you know, so I don't think so, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah, please. I'm with you. I really don't know, but I could see how those places would be more problematic than even a restaurant.
Yeah, like how do you say 25%, you know, for
right
a miniature golf course? It's probably like first 15 in and then by reservations only, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
But you're wide open, right? You are running trips.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So you're
running trips, but I've been fortunate to be lucky. And I say lucky that a couple of my clients has been out with me before. They're from Nashville, and they own property down here. And right at the beginning of the virus, they were coming out for vacation, and they got stuck down here.
Oh, wow.
You know, so really their only thing that they've – could do was go fishing. So we've
hey.
Been fishing.
Done.
You know, so yeah. I've gotten lucky, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, so, that's good, man. Hey, that's not luck. That's you doing a good job and people wanting to come back and spend their money with you, you know?
Yes sir.
Well now that things are kind of let's say we're at least cracking the door back open. So tell us how we can get a hold of you, and for those that are stuck at home, tell us how we can find you on YouTube and social media.
So just to book a trip, or if you're interested, you know, just definitely check me out on my website. It's lionstailadventures.com. On YouTube, you search Lionel James Fishing, and there will pop up this handsome young fella with a big fish. So
there you go. That could be you, right? So you got to reach out to Captain Lionel, and that could be you grinning, holding the big fish.
For sure.
Yeah, so awesome, Lionel. Thank you so much for the update, man, and the update of kind of what's happening down there, because, you know, a lot of our listeners and myself, you know, we got to come from out of town, and, you know, we got to make sense of it a little bit at least before we put in the effort.
Right. I hope I feel a little bit better, you know. I'm going to give some time and go fishing and, you know, get out there tomorrow and see what happens.
Well, hey, man, we'll talk next week and hear all about it.
All right, boss man.
Awesome. Thank you, Lionel.
Later.
Thanks for giving us the update there, Captain Lionel. And, you know, I tell you, man, this weather, we'd like to think that people that live on the coast can pick the good days, but what do you do when the wind's just howling for several days in a row, or you get some kind of weird cold snap that only happens at night, and it just kind of makes everything, I don't want to say shut down, because that wouldn't be accurate, slow down and sort of move a little slower into the patterns that the summertime patterns. I mean, the good news is that there's fish on the beach, right? And the other part of that good news is that there's the beaches are opening back up. So if you do want to go down there and it is too rough for you to take a boat out, or you don't have a boat, hit the beach, man, and put out those surf rigs or walk a little bit up and down. We'll hear about some experiences you can have just simply walking down the beach and throwing lures here in a little bit. So, you know, there's still fun to be had. There's still a reason to get down there. And look, man, these fishing guides are – this is what they do. So windy days at the beach, I mean, that's what happens, right? So you have to learn to overcome that. And these guys know what to do. They know where to take you when the wind comes in like that. They know, you know, what's going to be happening, that if the wind's blowing a certain direction, they'll respond in a certain way and fish a certain handful of spots because of that. So that's the kind of wisdom that frankly you don't get unless you spend a tremendous amount of time in one area on that body of water, and you know what to do. And that's what Captain Lionel does. That's what Justin does. That's what Brant does. That's what they know. And so heed their advice. And you know, if you do go down there and you do feel like getting out and you want to hire a guide, get up with these guys, because they know how to do it. So up next is Captain Justin Leake over in Panama City. And look, the Panhandle area that we're talking is not tremendously large. So it's, you know, this same weather issue is going to be kind of the common theme, and I mentioned that in the intro earlier. I mean, it's just, look, it's the beach, it's summer, right? It's going to be hot soon, so let's just enjoy this time when we have a nice breeze, when we get some cooler temperatures and things aren't quite as miserable just to be outside, because we're going to get there in a hurry. In fact, I would say next week we're going to be there, and we're probably not going to be looking back. So you know, let's not complain too much, but it has put a little hiccup in the fishing. So Captain Justin is going to talk to us a little bit about how things have been since we talked to him last at Panama City and what he's been up to and what he's been catching. So Captain Justin, how you been?
Wonderful, Brad. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, man. Awesome. We missed you last week, but
But
Todd did a good job filling in and it's keeping us up to date on what's happening offshore for sure.
Well, I figured everybody get tired of hearing from me every week, so nice to mix it up a little bit with Todd. And no, I think he's got a little different perspective. He leans a little more on the offshore stuff around here than I do. So
yeah,
you get a little more variety there.
Yeah, and I tell him I know very little. I know enough to be dangerous offshore.
yeah.
So I got a little bit to learn there too myself. But have you been able to get out and do any fishing since we talked?
I have. I tell you, we have experienced the weirdest weather pattern that I can ever recall in May.
I know. Lionel and I talked about that, too. It's so strange.
Yeah. Yeah, I look like I'm going snowmobiling in the mornings, but in fact, it's May. It's normally our, kind of transitioning to our summer pattern. But I'm dressed in, I got my bibs on, got my jacket on, got my face mask. I mean, I'm dressed up for a cold ride because I'll tell you what, at daylight right now, it is a really cold ride.
Oh, absolutely. It's in the 40s.
Yeah. I mean, we hadn't seen that quite here.
Is it not?
Close,
okay.
So, yeah. No, we've had, our mornings right now are in the mid 50s, high 50s, but to be starting in the 50s, is amazing in May.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And not just one time. I mean, this has been a consistent thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And
pretty
wild. It's finally getting warm back up, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're saying, I don't know, early next week, late over the weekend, something like that, it's supposed to get normal southern temperatures.
Yeah, I think so. That's right. And then the other side of that is not only the extreme cold that we've experienced, relative to May.
Right.
But then also high winds. We've had a ton of wind. And then we've also had a lack of rainfall.
Yeah.
That's why we've had a lot of wildfires in the southeast lately, and especially in the panhandle. We've had a bunch of them. We're on a complete burn ban right now.
Okay.
So it's just been a weird set of events.
Yeah, I tell you, man, it all got kicked off with this coronavirus stuff. And
that's right.
2020 is just, it's just breaking records for weird things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy.
I always have a positive way to look at stuff like this. It's going to make people better fishermen.
There you go.
Whether you want to or not, and I've been through times like this. We've had summertime rainfalls that just never seem to quit, and our water gets real dirty. It forces you to get out of your comfort zone. It forces you to try new things. And usually you're going to learn some really cool lessons and some new tricks along the way that later on you can apply, when you experience those things again.
Yeah, that makes sense. So how have you, with this, the wind and stuff, how have you combated that on the water?
So I've fished in the bay more than I normally would this time of year. I mean, May to me is beach fishing. I mean, just beach and reef fishing dream, which I think everything can be good in May.
Yeah.
I get quite asked that all the time. What's your favorite time to fish? And I always say May and October.
Yeah.
And they're almost the exact same month to me, just on other sides of the year. But they fish the same. And
yeah,
they're so versatile. I mean, anything people want to do, if the weather fits it, we can make it happen. I mean, it's just very versatile. Anything's on the table. They both of those months kind of revolve around bait fish migrations.
Right.
And that's what we're seeing right now. So that's what makes it kind of odd to have these cold fronts, is this is normally when our water's really warming up.
Right.
And we have, out there in the Gulf, we have Spanish sardines and cigar minnows. They really start flooding up to the beach. And so all these bait fish migrations I want to talk about, they are happening.
Yeah.
What's hard is it's a little harder for us to see these migrations because we'll have a warm day or two, especially later in the day, and you'll see this bait up on the surface. You'll see fish busting on birds, diving, and it's like, okay, it's back to normal. And then we have these cold nights and windy nights, and it really pushes that bait down deep.
Yeah.
So even though we have this new bait moving in, a lot of times when it, when we have these cold days or windy days, we just can't see it. So it's hard to, for us to judge where it's at and how to fish it.
Right. No, that makes sense. Because, you know, normally if it's up top, you look for birds and you look for activity and then you go there.
That's right.
And without, you know, without that kind of tip off,
it can be very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, you get lucky or you don't with finding the bait, you know.
And the same thing goes in the bay system here, too. You know, I tell you what, I mean, the end of March, first part of April, we warmed up really quick. Our water temperatures were rising, and by mid-April, I mean, we had a lot of bait in our bay system. Pilchards on the grass flats, all the bayous had pogies in them. You know, it looked like a pretty good bait situation for us. And then all of a sudden, like right now, we can't hardly find bait. I mean, and we do a lot of live bait fishing, and, you know, our catching bait, cast net and baits in the bay has become difficult because of that.
Right.
And it's not that the bait's not there. It's just, it's hard for us to see them.
Yeah. So with that said, because, you know, for guys like me that are going to come down there and zip around and try to find somewhere to fish, I mean, part of what I'm doing when I'm zipping around is looking for birds and things. So what do you have any tips that help find it? I mean, is there anything that you've done that you've learned kind of through this that you can share with us?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I go to historical areas, you know, and every bay system's going to be a little different. Like in ours, all the grass flats adjacent to our pass. So when you come in our pass, and I guess a lot of times I like to think like a bait fish. If you're a tiny bait fish and you've been out in the Gulf and you just migrated up here and you come into our pass, you're looking for somewhere safe.
Right.
You know, you're not going to sit out in open water. If you're sitting out in open water, you get ate.
Yep.
So as a bait fish, they're going to start hitting those grass flats that are close to the inlets and close to our pass.
Right.
And the reason is they're looking for cover. So when we're, you know, when we have all this new bait migrating in here, you'll see a lot of traffic around the pass, and you'll see a lot of traffic, you know, people throwing top waters and soft plastics, you know, on all these grass flats close to the pass. And, you know, it's not like there's some secret spots. Now, normally I'm going to look for the birds, bait, stuff like that. Now, without it, that bait's still there. I just, you know, we're not going to see as much surface activity.
Right.
So I'm going to fish those same areas. I'm just going to fish something that's going to fish subsurface, something that's going to fish, you know, deeper right along the tops of that grass, because that's where a lot of that bait's going to be.
Yeah.
But if you're up shallow, you know, if you're in a couple of feet of water, you can still get plenty of topwater bites, because that bait will get way up shallow. And, you know, I mean, if you're a redfish or a trout and there's a bunch of pilchards on the grass flats and the topwater comes through there, you're going to bite it.
Right. Yeah. So are they're kind of getting down in that grass and sort of, because I know I've seen them in the summer, they get in there and you, the light will hit it a certain way and you just see all these sparkles, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so that's what you're, so when you're saying down deep, that it's not necessarily deep water, they're just down in it.
That's right.
Hidden,
that's right. You could be in 3 feet of water, and most of that bait's going to be in that bottom foot of the water column.
Right. That is so strange, you know? I mean, I guess everything reacts differently. And, you know, I would say, you know, it could have something to do with maybe less people bothering them with things. But I don't know that that's the case, because the times I've been down there, there's been no shortages of boats on the water.
No.
You know, I mean, I think people are still, you know, I mean, I think there's time for things to repair, and there's it's not as much of an impact as it would be if all, you know, everything was just normal, like kind of how we used to, like last year.
Sure.
But I just don't, you know, I'm not sure. It's got to be these weird cold nights and the wind that just kind of hadn't given much.
Yeah, no doubt. Because it seems like as soon as I get a little discouraged, you know, trying to find bait in the morning and it's these cold, windy mornings. You know, you'll have a day like today. As a matter of fact, it's warmed up pretty nice. And if you find somewhere out of the wind in the morning, a lot of times we'll have bait popping right back up. So it hasn't left.
Yeah.
It's going to be near. But usually it's just somewhere where we can't see it. So
yeah,
I like to kind of hit some of those historical areas where you've seen bait in the past and had success. I usually talk about, you know, trying to follow conditions and not go to those places. Well, right now I would probably lean on where I've had success in the past more than normal, because you're hard pressed to hide from the wind. So Yeah. Might as well be fishing somewhere where you've caught them before, because that bait, you know, if you were fishing around bait in the past somewhere, it most likely you still have bait there. You're just not seeing it.
Yeah. And that makes sense. And, you know, when, so do you think it's water temperature driven? I mean, the wind obviously has to do with whether they go down or come up.
Yeah.
But this is, we just haven't gotten to the temperature they need to really move in and kind of kick off the summer pattern. Is that kind of what you're seeing?
That's pretty true. Yeah. So it is definitely water temperature driven, but I think a lot of times we don't realize how much our water temperature varies through the water column.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So we get a reading, you know, like most boats, your transducer will read the water temperature. Well, that can be very deceiving because it's reading the, you know, top foot of the water column.
Right.
So like, let's say the water temperature's 75 degrees and then we have a night where, you know, we're dropping down in the 50s. It's really windy. And I tell you what, the wind, when it gets choppy and you have a cool breeze on top of the water.
Yeah.
That cools the water down a lot quicker than a still night would.
Yeah. No, you're right. And
just kind of churns up the surface and that surface temp will cool off a lot. So we can drop on the surface temp from 75 to, you know, 70 overnight.
Yeah.
So you lose 5 degrees. And in a fisher's world, that's huge.
Yeah.
Now you might go down 3 feet and it's still 75 right there.
Yeah.
So your fish that were comfortable in that 75 degree water, when it cooled off overnight up shallow, they're going to go until they hit that thermocline. It warms back up and they're back in that comfy, you know, 75 degree water.
Right.
And then the reverse will happen in the summer. That's why a lot of times during the summer, we start seeing these fish move deeper during the daytime when it gets extremely hot. That's all they're trying to do is be comfortable.
Yeah.
And I don't know, most people that snorkel or swim in the Gulf or really probably in lakes or anything have experienced that where you're up shallow, it's nice and warm, you take a breath and you go swim down 6 or 8 feet and it gets cool. Yeah. Down near the bottom.
Yep.
Well, right now we would probably be in the reverse of that, where we have a pretty good stable water temperature, which is what brought all that bait in here. All right. These migratory fish. We got some tarpon starting to show up now. You know, there's a lot of king mackerel showing up. You know, that steady water temperature throughout the water column is what brings those fish here.
Right.
Now, once they get here, those cold nights and that cool down on the surface is not going to necessarily make them leave, but it's going to make them stay out deeper and stay low, where most of the time we're not going to see them.
Yeah. That makes sense. So what depth are you finding fish at in this scenario? So because
it,
like in summer,
what type of fish?
So let's say
we're talking about.
Yeah, let's say inshore. Let's say redfish, trout, all the typical inshore stuff. And I'm kind of using that as an example, because I know in the dog days of summer, when those fish do move deeper because it's just so hot up in shallow water, you know, you find them in, sometimes they're in the 5, 6, 7 foot range, kind of as the flat begins to taper a little bit.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you're seeing now too?
No, not so much. There's still, and that should be what we're seeing, but it's not, because those cool nights have kind of moderated that shallow water temperature to kind of a mid 70s, which really for redfish and trout is their preferred temperature.
Yeah.
On the grass flats, it's basically what we would normally see late March and April.
Okay.
When they're up shallow, great topwater fishing. That's actually what we're still seeing now. So what it's done is basically just kind of lengthened that really perfect water temperature for the flats.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like good news to me. Now,
but
the problem is it's windy along with this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is created by an excess of wind, and that makes it not as comfortable to be on those areas if you're in an area where, you know, you're not sheltered somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and I would just say with the wind, and I tell you, I find this more and more true, and it sounds so simple, but if you just make yourself follow this, it's amazing how much it can help. Is whatever the direction the wind's coming from, if the weather forecast, like for the next couple of days, is supposed to blow out of the southeast.
Right.
Where, whatever bay system you're in, wherever you're at, go as far to the southeast as you can and fish that shoreline.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, It is. I really think because we have North Bay, East Bay, West Bay, St. Andrews Bay, Shell Island. You know, we have all these different areas of our bay system. But no matter where you're at, if you drop me in the middle of a bay, if the wind's blowing out of the south, I'm going to go as far as I can to that south shoreline, and I'm going to spend my day there. Because, you know, when you're shallow water fishing here, you're up near the shoreline, and getting out of that wind, to me, is everything.
Yeah. And it's the same way with the fish, too. I mean, yeah. they don't want, you know, if it's creating excess current, a lot of times it'll push that the bait around and kind of centralize the bait in one area. But if you can get to a spot like what you're saying where you're not affected by it as much, that's kind of what we all want, fish included, yeah. Right? I mean, it's more comfortable for us,
that's
too.
Right. It's more comfortable for us, which means it's more comfortable for them. But a big part of the success of that is it lets you be stealthier. I don't care if you're in a kayak or on a paddleboard, on a poling skiff, flats boat, what your bay boat, it doesn't matter. When you're in better conditions like that, lighter wind, you're stealthier.
Yeah.
And the stealthier you are when you're red fishing in shallow water, the more fish you're going to catch.
Yeah, that's true. And that's a good point because the fish aren't going to go necessarily too far. I mean, you know, they're not going to necessarily
right.
go.
They're not going to cross the bay.
Right. You're not going to find them on the west side because of the wind, yeah, all of a sudden. But those fish that are there, it'll give you the better opportunity to catch the ones that are in that area that you go to.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And, you know, that's something you can, I mean, you know, we talk about three different systems basically on this podcast. And so you could apply that to any one of the three or
that's right.
anywhere you go. And at least because you go to new water and you're like, okay, where do I start? Well,
yeah,
there's a good rule of thumb to kind of start with.
Yep. You can cut 75% of the water out just like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good tip. So you mentioned tarpon and you're seeing a few. Any serious numbers or just the beginning of what's coming?
You know, they're not happy. You know, I mean, you can really tell a tarpon's attitude when you see them in this clear, shallow water.
Yeah.
And basically, we've been fishing for other things out in the Gulf. You know, a lot of mangrove snappers is one of my favorite things to do in May. I target them a lot. You know, we got reef starting 2-3 miles out that'll be in about 60-70 feet of water.
Yeah.
There's tons of little amberjacks on them. You know, this is when, you know, talk about thermoclines and water temperatures out in the Gulf right now. This is when the surface temperature, starts regularly becoming warmer than the bottom temperature.
Right.
So those fish have been huddled up on these reefs all winter long. Water's been cool. Now that top 10 feet, 20 feet of the water column is substantially warmer than the bottom. And I know those numbers are true. And so, you know, it's funny with social media, I like to follow a lot of these diving websites just to see what their water temperatures are. Cause they always give water temperatures at depth.
Yeah.
So if they're like the dive centers here in Panama City, if they are doing a charter dive, they're always going to report what the visibility is.
Right.
And then what the water temperature is. And I know my visibility and my water temperature only relates to the surface.
Right.
Well, they're given visibility and surface and water temperatures at depth. So if you're 70 feet of water, I don't know what it's like down there without their information. So I like looking and right now they're in like the high 60s. Every once in a while they'll hit 70, low 70s. They're in full wetsuits.
Yeah.
You know, so that water temperature down low out there on these reefs, still pretty cold.
Yeah.
And what happens is now we're in the mid 70s up on the surface, you know, good visibility, clear water. There's a lot of bait. So if you're a fish that's been living on a reef all winter long down on the bottom and all of a sudden it's warmer, it's nicer, and there's more food on the surface, they like to be on the surface.
Yeah. And that explains why you see them being caught on top water and some of this.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I mean, as far as the reef fishing stuff for me, I like to fish light tackle, a lot of spinning tackle, fly tackle. We live chum those amberjacks up on the surface. They get crazy. So that kind of stuff is really good right now. And that's why, because we're not really having to, as a matter of fact, sometimes we'll fish around some of these public wrecks and we don't even have to live chum. You'll see amberjacks just kind of cruising on the surface looking for food.
Yeah.
Because we're not having to force them to come up there. They really want to be there.
Yeah. How, when you chum those up, how much chum, what are you chumming with and how much are you putting out?
So any kind of live bait, smaller live baits work good.
Just handfuls.
You can actually use cut bait, but it's not like a chum like you would see like people use shark fishing, where it's more of a like flows frozen.
Right, it's the live bait block. Kind of so, a
yeah, yeah. Just you know, three or four at a time, just sprinkle a few out, or you can even cut up some chunks of like buy some Spanish sardines or something like that, or northern mackerel, and cut some chunks. You know, the size of a.
I'll tell you a little tip that we used to do. We used to do that snook fishing in South Florida, and you throw the, you know, live greenbacks or whatever.
Yeah.
Just a handful, like, up against the mangroves, and it just pulls them out of the mangroves.
That's right.
Same concept.
That's exactly right.
But what we used to do was we would take those plastic, I don't even know how to describe them. It's a plastic baseball
bat.
Yeah, like a baseball bat, those big fat ones, and whack the end of it off, and you can drop a handful in there, and those things, you can fling those things. So that's just an interesting way. I mean, that's not anything secret or anything special, but
that's right.
But, you know, it'll get it done. And
that's right. And it's a good way to distribute some livies out there, and it does kind of disorient them too a little bit, which is good.
Yep. Yeah, well, awesome, man. So things are kind of moving along. I mean, you know, it's funny because, I mean, I had a very similar conversation with Captain Lionel about the Destin area, and he was saying the same thing, and it's funny, and I told him, it's like, you know, remember back in mid-March and early April or early March, you know, we were having conversations about, man, this weather is really warming up fast. We're not having these crazy cold fronts that are kind of screwing up the springtime. Like, we're going to be, I fully expected to be in like a summertime pattern earlier than normal because of the rate we were going. We were having some rain, but it wasn't crazy. We weren't having the crazy cold fronts where it, you know, snowed or something up in my part of the world in March. I mean, we just weren't having that. And now here we are in May when we should be kind of leveling off, and it's still doing this weird stuff. So.
And I don't know if it was on this podcast or another, you know, I do a few different types of reports and stuff. And I think I've said this everywhere, so I'm sure people have heard this, but I almost predicted this. And I don't know if we could go back and find this part, but I've been saying, and you know, I wish I could say that I was really smart, but I'm not, but I have done this for a while, and I'm really observant.
Right.
And I do take notes. I record a lot of these things. I write these things down. But it never fails. I've seen some years like this where I always think maybe we're going to get out of here without having a winter.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we're just going to cruise right in some warm weather, great fishing. But I always say it's always coming.
Yep.
And if you don't get it during hunting season, which is when I'd prefer to get it.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of helps push some ducks down here and, you know, makes it a little more comfortable for our hunt season. But I always say if we don't get it during hunt season, it's coming at some point. And
right.
I was thinking this year, you know what? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe it's just not going to come.
Yeah.
But it did.
Yep. Here we are, May. Middle of May.
That's right. Oh, well. That's fine.
So things are, the door's cracking back open down there. And and people are probably starting to come to town. I'm going to be one of them. So tell us how we can get a hold of you and book a guide, or book you or one of the other guides that you work with.
Sure. Go to PanamaCityInshore.com. You'll see a list of all our guides on there. You can scroll through, kind of read everybody's bio, look at the different types of fishing people do. And everybody's contact info is on there. So if you see somebody that looks like they'd be the perfect guide for you, just give them a call direct and get you a day book with them. And I'll be honest with y'all, we've had a lot of cancellations here recently, but as fast as we're having cancellations, we're rebooking those days. So, you know, in the past, we usually run a good distance out from, you know, being all booked up. But right now, you know, we can be, like I myself, I'm pretty booked solid for the next few months, but hey, I can have two or three days a week cancel.
Yeah.
So it's great to have people coming to town and people are calling. You know, that way we can rebook those days. So don't think because you do something last minute, you can't get a guide trip booked because you most likely can.
Well, and where we are now, it's going to be last minute because, you know, I think there's some announcements that are supposed to be made from, you know, the governor and of Florida and some people higher up like that on Friday. That will determine sort of the path forward, and I think it has a lot to do with the vacation rentals and some of these things that will greatly affect your business. So
Sure.
Assuming they open them back up, and they will one day. Let's hope it's soon. And
that's right.
Things ought to be kicked up. You know, I'm not going to say normal.
That's right.
But
the new normal,
closer to whatever normal is going to look like for the rest of this year. We're going to be there sooner than later, I hope.
Well, also a lot of fist bumps and.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm just
not doing my handshakes and change it up a little bit, but there's plenty of room to spread that out here. So
yep, exactly. And it's funny you mentioned that. You know, I'm a handshaker, and I don't think I think those days are gone. I think it's going to be fist bumps from now on. You know, or elbow bumps, or whatever
that's
they
right.
come up with. That's the replacement.
That's right.
But yep. Well, awesome. Well, thanks for talking with us, Justin, and hopefully we'll talk to you again. Maybe next week. I haven't decided if we're going to do one next week, or because I'm going to be out and about, so I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see. I've got to come up with a plan. I haven't run into a situation yet where I'm on vacation, so I don't know how I'm going to do that, you know. But we'll figure it out. So awesome, man. Well, thank you so much, and we'll talk again soon.
You bet. Good talking with you, Brad.
Hey, you too. Thank you for that update, Captain Justin. And I tell you something, that is a tremendous amount of very good information on how to read the weather, what the bait's doing. And, you know, I really appreciate that tip of if the wind's blowing from the southeast, then fish the southeast as far as you can get in that general area. Because I tell you something, it's really tough to be a fisherman, and let's say you have your own boat and you go to a new place. Let's say you've never fished in Panama City before. Well, that kind of information is valuable because now you have some kind of idea to start. I mean, you know, if you're planning out a trip and you're looking at, you know, where you're going to go and what you're going to do, you're probably looking at Google Earth. You've got some different apps that tell you the wind and the direction and some weather stuff and all that good stuff that's out there at our disposal from these weather buoys and some of these data collectors that are in the water. So as you're planning your trip and it gets closer, I speak from experience, I find myself thinking, okay, what are we going to do first? You know, what's going to be the most productive thing to try, say, first thing in the morning, or where am I going to go? And if you've never fished in that area, that is a great way to narrow everything down. I think Captain Justin said it best. I mean, that rules out 75% of the spots that you might be thinking about going to. You know, where you're comfortable is where the fish are probably comfortable. And so for inshore, that's a wonderful rule of thumb and a great way to sort of pick apart new water and become more familiar with it. So thank you for that great information and for those tips, because, you know, it's easy to just take what comes along on your electronics as the surface temperature and call that the golden rule. Well, you know, the water's deep, especially when you get offshore and, you know, at depth, you know, there's some great tips in there about how to locate a resource to give you the depth. I'm sorry, give you the temperature of the water at depth, and that's what matters. And that's going to tell you, you know, what kind of thermocline, what kind of zone those fish are in. So, great information, and I can't thank you enough, Captain Justin, for that information. So, up next we got Captain Brant Peacher over in Pensacola, and you're probably seeing the trend. I mean, it's the same story across the panhandle. It's been a cooler, super windy week, and you know, Captain Brant's got some things he's done and some success that he's had and some things he wants to try, and he's going to tell us all about it. So, Captain Brant, how you doing?
Hey, man, doing well.
Awesome. So, how's the fishing in the Pensacola area these days?
You know, the weather's been kind of bad. It's been really windy the last 3 or 4 days, and it's going to be windy for the next 4 or 5 days. So I haven't been able to do much boat fishing. Been doing some beach fishing, and the surf fishermen have been doing really well, and that's about it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We talked to the Captain Lionel over in Destin, Captain Justin in Panama City, and got the exact same information from them that the wind has just been tough to deal with.
Yeah, it's been brutal.
Yeah. So, and you know, the cooling water temperatures don't help things either. At least it doesn't help us progress into the summer patterns. That's the better way
sure.
to put it. So
sure.
What kind of success did you have off the beach?
I mean, there's a lot of pompano on the beach right now, and plenty of other just fish coming down the beach, like skipjacks and bluefish and Spanish and stuff like that. So there's plenty of action. if you wanted to just walk the beach and cast, or if you want to set baits out and catch pompano and whiting, the beach is pretty eventful at the moment.
Yeah. So what are the beaches are 100% open in Pensacola?
Yeah, right now they are, absolutely.
Okay. Is it super crowded, or do you think there'd be reason they would back off that? Or?
No, I don't. I think everybody here is pretty much ready for the economy to get back booming.
Right. Yeah, because it's that time of year that you guys count on with tourism. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm ready for it to open back up everywhere, but down there especially, you know, I've been trying to travel to the Panhandle and make it to a couple of we've been to Destin, we've been to Panama City, and we're starting to have trouble booking places.
Yep, so, absolutely, know. Man. It's starting. People are traveling again, and you know, my wife and I went to make a restaurant reservation for this weekend in Pensacola. We couldn't find a restaurant that had anything available that was so packed out.
Really? Are they doing?
Which is a good thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Are they doing the 25% capacities, or are they more opened up?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, but lots of our restaurants in Pensacola have a majority of outdoor seating, and so like covered seating outdoor and stuff like that, and so they're, you know, it's really no change when you have that. So.
Yeah. Well, that's good news, and I didn't realize that, but yeah, I mean, any of the beach places that are down there, they're going to have some form of outdoor
seating.
Yeah,
people usually sit outside anyway, and so,
right.
So that kind of gives the restaurants, you know, that really helps them out.
Yeah, that's good to know. So when you're fishing, you told us last week you didn't foresee any offshore action coming up. Do you think it's going to calm down enough in the next few days? I mean, do you see a forecast looking out far enough?
I don't, man. I don't. It's saying at least 3 to 4 foot seas through the rest of the week. And
wow.
It looks like it may start to calm down on Saturday, but there's still going to be that residue wave height from all the wind this week. And so it just doesn't, I probably won't be going out offshore till the following week.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So inshore, when the wind's whipped up like this, are you seeing bait move inshore at this point, or is it got in the water?
Yeah, I mean, it's, there's fish to be caught. I mean, it's good. It just, Pensacola Bay is kind of tough to fish, unless it's calm. It's just the way it's set up. You know, we can fish on certain wind directions, like a west wind is decent, a southwest wind, but anything east, it just makes it really tough to fish. And so, you know, I just think beach fishing's your best bet at the moment.
Yeah. So what is it about an east wind? Is it just a big open bay setup that kind of creates that?
It is. And it just, there's nowhere to hide. And most of the fishing areas that are most productive are exposed to an east wind.
Yeah. So east wind is a no-go in Pensacola then.
And
I know it's
pretty
been
much.
Kind of a southeast sort of thing. So anything with east in it is going to affect it negatively, it sounds like.
Exactly.
So on the beach, have you seen or heard of anybody grabbing any cobia?
There's been a few just kind of bycatch with people surf fishing. Catching a few cobias. I mean, there's still some cobias coming down the beach. Another thing you can do right now is pier fish. Pensacola Pier and Navarre Pier both caught cobias over the last couple days, and the piers are catching, you know, lots of other stuff like Spanish and pompano and stuff like that.
So, yeah, do they catch many kings off the piers there?
Lots of them, yeah. Lots of them. Pretty good time of year to start catching them right now. So.
Yep. And I guess so much of that is kind of driven by the bait. I mean, you know, we talked for a long time earlier in the spring as it finally started to kind of warm up, and everything seemed to just be moving in the right direction, and then we get this weird cold snap that pops up in middle of May, you know, and it seems to kind of push us backwards a little bit. You know, with some of the bait moving in, and I don't know, things just seem to be a little bit off, at least in the other areas from what I'm gathering. And it sounds like Pensacola is not that much different.
We're still sort of in a spring pattern, you know, with the pompano and the Spanish and stuff like that. And you're going to, you know, when we start really catching the school kings, you're going to know we're in that summer pattern, which we haven't really, I haven't heard of any reports of them yet.
Yeah. So right now it sounds like if anybody's wanting to get down there, you know, it sounds like the beach, obviously, now that it's open, and they're not doing staggered times or anything, it's just open.
No, it's wide open right now.
Okay, so that would be the thing, and then the beach fishing like that, and then off the piers sound like the best bet for that area. And Pompano Bite still running strong, and I know, you know, you're going to get schools of different things come through. I mean, redfish and ladyfish and all kinds of things are going to flow by the pier and the beach. So you certainly could have a very active day, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I know just west of here in Orange Beach and down to Gulf Shores, I actually tried some of it the other day, but it was unsuccessful because, I mean, we had like a 30-degree temperature drop, and it just shut the bite down. But I'm going to start doing it more throughout the summer. But the speckled trout bite from the beach, on the Gulf side, is really good over there right now.
Really?
And you can go and throw topwater plugs early in the morning and really get on a good speckled trout bite. So that's something I'll be doing here in the near future.
Yeah, no kidding. So what do you ever see that in the Pensacola area?
Very seldom. So it kind of starts just around Perdido Pass, which Perdido Pass, the way the crow flies, is really close to Pensacola.
Yeah, it is. And, it's right there.
You know, so we're right next to each other. But then just west of Perdido Pass is when it kind of starts, and it just gets better and better the further west you go.
Yeah, I wonder what causes those specks to move in on the beaches there and not so much in the rest of the Panhandle. It's odd.
It is, and I'm not sure, but they're all big ones too. Huh. Most of the ones you catch are going to be over, 20 inches or better. And so it's pretty fascinating, and it's really cool to go catch them on topwater plugs.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't heard that. I live in Alabama. I'm not in that. I'm not on the coast, so there's no reason I would have heard that. But I've never heard of that, and it fascinates me. The more I learn about the Panhandle as a whole, and now, I mean, let's remove state boundaries and all this other stuff. I mean, you're talking Mobile to Apalachicola, basically, and it's remarkably different fisheries as you work your way down.
It's
crazy, and that goes to show you, as close as that is to you, it's remarkably different in that respect, at least,
Yeah, and it's something, it is, and that's something that people actively target. I mean, you'll go out there and see tons of beach walkers tossing topwater plugs in the morning trying to catch these big specks.
Man, that's cool. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And you know, what a neat tip if you are. I mean, look, I've been trying to book a place in the Panhandle for next week, and we're having a little trouble because you can book hotel rooms, but you can't book, say a house or something on the bay.
Sure.
And
sure.
So we're kind of having trouble finding something. We've sorted it out now, but we thought a lot about going and just staying in Alabama because it's wide open. I mean, you can book anything. The beaches are open.
Right.
And it's just different. Just when you cross that line there, that little sliver of Alabama is ready to go, it sounds like. But that's wild to me. Speckled trout on the beach like that. I've never heard of that. And what a cool thing, because you're throwing these topwaters and you get a school of redfish come by, or anything else is going to just destroy that topwater.
Oh yeah, so. We were catching bluefish and Spanish and stuff the other day, throwing for trout, and there were some people catch some trout, but it was kind of a slow bite because the drastic temperature drop trout are really affected by that. And so, but and this lasts all throughout the summer. So
no kidding, I'll have to try that too, man. And if you try it, I'm sure you'll video it, but I'd like to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm planning on trying it here within the next couple weeks. So.
Well, cool. Well, speaking of videos, tell us how we can find you online and if we want to come down, take a trip, all that good stuff.
Yeah, you check out my YouTube channel, Angle with Brent, or my website, CaptainBrent.com. All my information's there. All my videos are there, so check it out.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Brent. And if you're heading to Pensacola, bring your surf gear, because it sounds like that's going to be the name of the game for the first few days of your trip anyway. So
Yep, that's right.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Brent, and we'll talk again next week.
Yep, sounds good.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the update, Captain Brent. And, you know, it's very crazy and interesting to me that those dudes over in Alabama are catching speckled trout off the beaches there. And being an Alabama boy myself, I'm a little bit proud of them, a little bit surprised by it. And I've just never heard of that. So that'd be a really cool thing to do because, you know, throwing a topwater off the beach, there's no telling what you'll get into. And it would be cool to see speckled trout get added to that mixed bag. So that's something cool, and we'll have to keep an eye out on Angler Up with Brant YouTube channel and see what he's able to get into over there. So thanks for that update. And, you know, it sounds to me like if you're going to Pensacola, at least soon, you know, maybe this weekend or over the next couple of days, you'll probably want to just plan to surf fish off the beach. It sounds like it can be productive, and obviously it's easy to get to. So like we said, I mean, the common theme for this update is – you know, it's weather, man. It's windy, and we've had some weird cold fronts that have come through and affected the temperatures at night and early morning, and it's affected the entire panhandle. So if you're able to make it out this week, it sounds like, I don't know, you're either enjoy getting beat up by the waves or you just had to get out there. And look, I've been there. I mean, there's times when you know, look, this is the day. Whether it's windy or rainy, it doesn't matter. We're going. And so if you made it out, I hope you had success. If you didn't, you know, then more power. It sounds like it's one of those things that you know, you could be productive in other ways. You don't have to take the boat out. So that's good news. So thank you for that, Captain Brant. And, you know, here's the thing. This is the 12th episode, and I mentioned it in the show all along, and you know I'm going to be in the panhandle myself most of next week, and going to try to do some fishing, hopefully get some good pictures, hopefully get some good updates together. So be sure that you're following us on social media. Ripple Fishing Report, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. We've got a YouTube channel, but really that channel exists now just to sort of be able to collect Brant and Lionel's and Justin's videos and sort of catalog them in one place. And so if you do want to go there, Ripple Fishing Report, I think you would be able to source their videos and their content and their channels through my channel. So check that out. And as always, I can't thank you enough if you have subscribed to the podcast. And I would encourage you to subscribe because, look, this is a weekly fishing report. What that means is, good, bad, or ugly, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, this time things were a little bit dicey and people weren't able to get out, or, you know, some of that's because they know. I mean, it's, you know, we're going to get beat up. We're not going to have fun. It's not going to be comfortable and enjoyable for us. But then also, we're probably not going to have the level of production that we want to see when we do get out there and really get after it. So, you know, I get it. But this will allow you to stay in tune to what's happening down there between the water temperature and the weather. And most importantly, because look, we're at the mercy of this. I mean, you know, we don't get to decide that, you know, the week we go down and have our family vacation, that the weather is going to be, you know, Chamber of Commerce weather, as they call it. So odds are you're going to have to deal with this stuff. So it's a great, you know, great information, as up to date as we're able to give it to you. And, you know, the big thing is that these guys tell us how they react in these situations. So, you know, you'll know next time that, hey, it's windy, I'm going to try this area. Or, you know, here's why the bait hasn't shown up yet. Or, you know, I don't see the bait, so that doesn't mean it's not here, but maybe I should try this and look in this type area. Because they're down in the grass instead of being up top. So, you know, this is the kind of guidance and the kind of information that, you know, as the host of this podcast, that I set out to provide. So it's not as fun to talk about as catching tons of big fish and having pictures all over social media to kind of show off. And look, we get to do plenty of that. This is just a super informative, borderline scientific, if I could say that, but a real deep dive into how the most recent weather that we've had, which is strange because it's May, it should just be hot, but the most recent weather we've had kind of move through and how it's affected things. And then most importantly, how our guides have adjusted their approach to still be successful if they've decided to get out on the water and try it anyway. So tons of great information. If you subscribe, you're not going to miss any of it, and that's a good thing. I'd also like to give a quick shout out to one of my favorite listeners, a fellow named Gavin Farley. So, Gavin, hope you're listening. Hope you're having a great time. I think Gavin's going to be down on the coast some next week. Maybe you can get after him and send us a picture or two. So shout out to Gavin. So listen, thank you all for being here. Next week, not sure what it's going to be. We might pick our favorite episode and kind of do a rerun, so to speak. We may broadcast something from down there. I really don't know. You're going to have to just tune in and find out. So one way or the other, we'll see you next week.